This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to another A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online, so you can listen to this show by going to kpppfm.com and clicking on the Listen Live link. And if you miss our show live, you can go to our podcasts. All of the shows are right there. You can listen to them at your convenience. And today we're talking about the dirty tactics that are being used at Standing Rock. I'm going to tell you about some of the things that are going on. I've been telling you about the increase in hate crimes that have been going on against Indigenous people, water protectors, and their allies in Bismarck, Mandan, by businesses that are refusing people service, by hotels that are kicking people out, mm-hmm. police and vigilantes who are profiling people in Bismarck, Mandan. They also are terrorizing people on the roads.
On snowmobiles, yes.
On snowmobiles. Last night, there was an attack on Highway 1806.
No, it was Highway 6.
Excuse me. Thank you, Duke. Duke is always telling me what I miss. So thank you very much. It was Highway 6. We watched the videos. They were horrific. I felt like I was watching a movie. Mm-hmm. It was crazy that this is going on right here in North Dakota. If you guys know what videos I'm talking about, I would appreciate it if you would put the link to those videos in the comments, as I will not be sharing the content of those videos with you today. A lot of it is just the sound of the snowmobile and the driving happening. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you can
visually see that much. Although
right.
they did narrate what was going on. The two people on snowmobiles were zooming along cars, passing cars at 70 miles an hour. They were going in front of cars and they were terrorizing cars, and they tried to run Myron Dewey off the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he reported it to police. He had video evidence, and the police said, well, we know who it is. Exactly. We know their name. We're not going to arrest them. You can come in tomorrow and bring in your video evidence and file a complaint. And he's like, this person just tried to kill us and tried to cause damage and harm to people. And you won't arrest him or even bring him in? Well, guess we'll be in tomorrow. They didn't want to argue, and they were up till 2 in the morning doing this. And they went into the police department and filed a complaint this morning.
Do you folks understand what has been happening to Indigenous people and people of color in North Dakota? These Morton County monsters didn't just show up yesterday. They've been this way. This is all happening all the time in North Dakota, here in the Midwest. The racism is on fire. It's horrible. I mean, the kind of hatred that people in this area experience, especially Indigenous people in this area experience, is really shameful. But it was never unearthed to the world in this way until now. And so we need to express that this is happening and continue to show it, because I think it's having an effect.
Oh yeah.
There was an article today in the Bismarck Tribune or the Forum. I can't remember. One of those sold out corporate media propaganda rags. And he was whining about the fact that social media is making him and the cops look really bad. No, it's not social media. It's you. You look really bad. You're doing really, really bad things. You're violating people's civil rights. You're attempting to kill people by hosing them down in freezing water, shooting people in the head. The profiling and the mistreatment that Indigenous people have experienced here in the state has been going on, but it has been going on under the cover of silence, with a corporate puppet media doing anything and saying anything that the law enforcement here and that the government says that's okay for them to say. And other than that, you don't get to hear the truth. You don't get to see what's really happening. Thank you for all of you who are just joining in right now. Hello, Alabama. Thank you for sharing this. And I do want to state again, I have an exclusive interview with Sunrose Ironshell. She's the cousin of Red Fawn, Red Fawn Fallis, who is being held without charges at this point. They're supposed to charge her on the federal level. At this point, they have given her taken all her state charges and dropped them. But they are not giving her any new charges. They're just holding her without any charges. And this is very concerning to her family. So there's an exclusive interview that I have with her. It's 26 minutes long. I pre-recorded it. So if you want to hear it on this live feed today, please let me know. Hey, Louisville, Kentucky, in the house. Thank you. Hey, Florida. Thank you for being here. Please share this and let me know what your thoughts are in the comments. Do you want to hear that interview on the live feed? If you do, let me know and I'll go ahead and do it for you. The other option is you can hear our complete program once it is podcast or once it airs later tonight at 7 and 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. Central Standard Time. So you can just go to kppfm.com and click on the Listen Live link and listen there. Or if you miss it, you can listen later when it becomes a podcast by going to kppfm.com and clicking on the podcasts. You can also find every other show that we have done. We've got, I don't even know, it's close to 100 hours now of programming on Standing Rock exclusively that we've been doing for months. So if you want to go and find out the full story and hear directly from the people right there at Standing Rock, not propaganda, not a news release, the people at Standing Rock, you can go and listen to all of those shows, and it is well worth it. I mean, this is history in the making, what has happened here at Standing Rock. Hey, from Idaho, New Mexico listening. Thank you very much for joining us. Bowling Green, Kentucky. Cool. I'm hearing everybody wants to hear that interview. Okay, cool. That's cool. I will do it. Well, let's get moving then. And of course, I do want to hear what you have to say. I'm not going to have time to play some of your calls and comments today because I'm going to do a tight show. I want to get this out as soon as possible. It's really important that we do this update as quickly as we can.
However, if you do want to call and give us a message and chime in and give us some information and maybe even a possible interview, you can call us at 701-566-0917. That's our call-in line. It's 701-566-0917. Also, you can tweet us at media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kppfm.com or me, Duke at kppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can.
That's right. You can follow us. You can like us. You can tweet us. You can email us. All of those things. You can do all of that. And I encourage you to, because we don't just talk about Standing Rock. We share a lot of different news with you. We are a media justice run, nonprofit run, non-commercial, community owned, indigenous led radio station right here in the Fargo-Moorhead region. And as I've told you guys before, we are very rural. It is a rural community because we're out in the middle of the sticks in the Midwest. However, this is the largest metropolitan area between Spokane, Washington, and the Twin Cities. There's over 200,000 people here.
Oh, more than 200,000.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 250,000 people this area. So what you're talking about is we potentially can reach that many people. That's more than a quarter of the population of the state of North Dakota. And that means that despite the fact that we're, you know, supported exclusively by donors like our listeners, like yourselves, and by grants that support nonprofit communities, and by our sponsors.
Yes.
We have the ability to reach and share the real news, the truth of what is happening in our community, in our state, in Minnesota, and in North Dakota. With a large, large portion of the population, just like the big commercial stations can. But we're going to give you real stuff without all the fluff, without the lies. So today we're going to talk about these dirty tactics that are being used. As I told you before, in Bismarck, there are hate crimes happening all the time. Every day now. Every day I see a new video of somebody being harassed, somebody being threatened, somebody being run off the road, somebody being humiliated in a restaurant. The stories are really, they're heartbreaking, but they're also terrifying. And the videos that I saw last night, if you saw the videos Myron Dewey posted, Prolific the Rapper posted, Dean the drone pilot of Drone to Be Wild posted. Please put them in a comment section so people could go and watch them for themselves. But let me tell you, Dean the drone pilot just recently was also attacked by two masked men in front of the Ramada Inn in Bismarck. And when that happened, it was all captured on tape. Hey, Cape Cod, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this program all over the country and all over the world. I really appreciate all of our listeners, all of our live feed followers. And so what has happened since then is, as I told you in my last show, Anonymous got involved. They said, you guys better turn yourselves in. They are officers. Anonymous told us they are officers. Do I know this is true? No, I don't. But that's what Anonymous said. And today, Sean King, who has been helping Chase Iron Eyes, who is a Standing Rock enrolled member, he is Lakota, he is an attorney, he is the founder of the Last Real Indians. In full disclosure, we, the People's Press Project, the nonprofit that runs this radio station, are the fiscal agents of Last Real Indians. And we're very proudly so, and we support all of the work of Indigenous media we have for years. We want to continue to do that because we are better at telling our own stories than the corporate media is. When they tell our stories, they don't do a good job. It's biased. It's untruthful. And I think that's why the governor hates that the media, he's talking about social media. He's actually talking about you folks. He's really mad at y'all. He's mad at y'all because you've been making him look bad. Have you seen the governor's face?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen his face? And he thinks you all are making him look bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That was an accident that happened long, long ago, Governor Dapple. That was not done by social media. You already looked really, really bad. And so does our law enforcement. So today, Sean King said, as he posted about these masked vigilante men who attacked Dean the drone pilot and his driver, they were the modern day KKK in Bismarck. Yup, that is exactly what they are, the modern day KKK in Bismarck. And this was his message to them. To the white men in masks who threatened to assault Indigenous people and F their wives, quote unquote, I know who you are. Ooh, I know who you are. It's not just Anonymous now. This is a New York Daily News reporter that reports all the time on hate crimes in this country. And he says, I know who you are. And Sean King is not the sort of person that just likes to do that for funsies. He's going to expose you and he's going to tell the world, all of his followers, who these people are. Okay, other breaking news you should know. This is really, really good news. Jordan Cheriton of TYT Politics posted today that regarding the court ruling that was coming down today, people were waiting to hear about this, right? The U.S. District Judge ruled that Energy Transfer Partners has until January 31st, 2017, to give their evidence slash reasons why a permit should be granted for drilling under Lake Oahe. And as you remember, probably, they wanted this expedited. They wanted a decision today. And so the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and the Army Corps have now got 10 days to respond to this order that the judge gave. Okay. And a court date to rule on this decision after Energy Transfer Partners turns in their evidence will be set in February. Well, that kicked the can down the road. Real far down the road, all the way into February. And Energy Transfer Partners said they needed this process expedited immediately because they're losing $20 million a week if the pipeline is not operational. Did you hear that? $20 million a week. So that's how this black snake dies. It just needs to be stopped completely in its tracks. No more work, no more drilling at all. The judge essentially said to this request that this be expedited, he said, sorry, not my problem. You know what? maybe you shouldn't have drilled, maybe you shouldn't have built all of your project all the way to near completion without having the proper permits, energy transfer partners. Maybe you shouldn't have put the cart before the horse. Sounds like you messed up. Too bad. Boo-hoo. I don't care. And they're really ticked off. Let me tell you right now, Energy Transfer Partners is throwing the biggest hissy fit in the world because they expected to march into these courtrooms as they have done so in the past and gotten favorable rulings or rulings that kicked the can down the road and left Standing Rock and its residents dangling on the line and not knowing whether they're going to get shot in the head with a rubber bullet the next day again or maced in the face again. But as long as they were the ones dangling on the line, Energy Transfer Partners was okay with that. However, now they're the ones that have to wait. And believe me, they don't like it. But let me tell you how this is affecting their work. Because they have to have their shipping contracts expire on January 1st. On January 1st, their shipping contracts expire, which means they either will not get renewed or they will have to renegotiate those contracts. And those contracts, if they are not, you know, renewed, they will lose half of their projected income. Half of their projected income. This is winnable. We could kill this black snake. It's simple. Just do the math. So, and let me tell you something else. When those contracts were signed, the oil prices were much higher, necessitating or at least giving reason to creating that pipeline, right? There was more reason to have this pipeline when the oil prices were higher. Since then, oil prices have plummeted. And so for these folks, it's an opportunity. They can go, well, you know, oil prices were a lot higher before when we did this contract, and now we stand to lose a lot of money. So either you give us a better deal and we eat more of your profits, or we just won't renew the contract. Or they can say, you know what? This is a hot mess. This whole pipeline thing has turned into a political firestorm. We don't want any more of this. I gotta go. And then not renew the contracts. And let me tell you, both of those sound real viable to me. I don't think that these contractors are going to stick it out and wait and see until Trump approves it. Because do you think the Lakota people are going to back down? Do you think that they're ever going to change their stance on wanting to survive and have clean water? No, they're not. The Lakota people are some of the strongest people in the world, and they will not back down, ever. So, with that in mind, I want to share with you an update by Myron Dewey about those vigilante. They also had like helmets on,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like helmet, like motorcycle helmet things when they were out there. And they were running people off the road. They were driving at crazy speeds. Like they passed the car going 60, 70 miles an hour, no problem. And then they drove right in front of the car. They crossed the road in front of the car. It was like they were trying to purposely run people off the road or get them into accidents. This is terrifying. You know, there's been all sorts of things that have happened to the camp because of the blizzard, because of, you know, people needing to evacuate to warmer places, not having the resources necessary. And then on top of that, having all the porta potties removed, although some of those are being returned. I know some of you might have heard all the porta potties were removed. Some were returned. And I've heard all sorts of reasons why they removed them and why they returned them and why they didn't return as many. However, it doesn't really matter. The point is, you should know there's people staying at the camp and they're not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been confirmed to me by people in the Indigenous Environmental Network, statements put out by Candy Mossett, statements put out by Chase Iron Eyes. So know that that is out there and the people are out there. You should also know, and this is breaking news from Prolific the Rapper. Prolific the Rapper said today about the court hearing and updates on the camp the following. Number one, the Army Corps, now this is kind of stunning, okay? I can't even believe this is possible or likely, but it is kind of cool. The Army Corps of Engineers has apparently said they will raise water levels, which would prevent DAPL from drilling. Now, that's talking about enforcement right there. The Army Corps could raise the water levels and make it impossible for DAPL to drill, even though they want to, because, you know, they kind of do whatever they want and they don't listen to rules. Hello from Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing this program. Keep sharing it out. So let me tell you what this means. If they flood, if they raise the water levels, what will happen is they will also flood Ocheti Sokoi camp, which is the main camp. So it would also take 2 weeks. You can just imagine what kind of shenanigans DAPL can get into in 2 weeks, right? So keep all of this in mind. Take it with a grain of salt. Think about it. Make informed decisions on your own about what you think this means. But they said they might do this, that they would raise these waters and that then DAPL could not drill, and that it would take about 2 weeks to do that, which means there would be 2 weeks in which people from Ocheti Sokoi could clear out the camp. And that's all good, right? And also keep in mind, Rosebud Camp and Sacred Stone Camps will still be open, so people could move to a safe place and remain. And people will want to remain. Rusty Fox is saying that the lower camp, the winter camp, will be fine. Yes, so there are other places to go and to stay there. I agree with you, whoever said it's fishy. I agree. I don't believe anything the Army Corps of Engineers says or the governor's office said. But this is what they're telling us, that it's possible that they can do. Okay. From Canada, hello. From Washington, hello. Thank you very much for joining us. Please share our program. And number two, this is another piece of information that you need to know. Approximately half of the camp has returned home, but many are staying. And LaDonna Brave Bull Allard and Chase Iron Eyes are calling for everyone to stay. Okay? We are a critical time right now for precedents to be set, both in terms of establishing tribal rights as well as environmental justice and combating the corporate takeover of government right now. So much is on the line. It's not a time to go home and rest. It's a time for tribes to pull all their resources together and support Standing Rock so that the right legal precedents are set. Okay? Number three, another blizzard might hit. And if you want to support the camp, what they need most is firewood and propane. So you heard it here. They need fuel. That is what they need the most. They need firewood and propane. Number four, Army Corps is said to have seismic monitors. They have seismic monitors, and they can use those if DAPL is drilling. If they drill without an easement, they'll be putting their project at risk as well as the money of their investors, and they are ordered not to drill at this time, but are pushing the courts to override the Army Corps decision. It doesn't look like the courts are going their way, though, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel, woo! Okay, and number five, the court has made a timeline that will push this into January, which would extend this battle into the Donald Trump era. And of course, you know what I think of Donald Trump, so. Hey, New Mexico, thanks for watching. Now I have an important update for you from Jordan Cheriton about the surveillance state, about how people are being surveilled at the camp constantly. Here's confirmation that it's happening. Listen up.
Hey, it's Jordan with TYT, TYT Politics. I'm here in the frozen tundra, the dome, and I'm here with Terrence Daniels would support the revolution. And I was just telling you that, like, this is the first time I've gotten cell service in this camp, like, when I go into the camp. Communication's a big, has been a big issue here, but you've been working to boost the signal here and kind of been fighting a lot of you've been fighting the technology war. Can you kind of explain your obstacles?
I mean, they used all of the tactics that you normally see in police situations like this. So they blocked our cell phone service, they blocked our internet service, they smashed up some of our equipment. Our goal when we came in here was to bring high-speed internet to the camp to undo the media blackout, to let people's voices be heard. If you saw during the incident with the flashbang where that young woman was seriously injured, right away they had a statement, which was 100% a lie, out, and it took us having our drones in the air and being able to refute that immediately. Part of that was getting the internet here so people could live stream, so that citizens that are watching it on TV could get what the actual truth was.
You're talking about the young woman with whose arm was nearly?
Yeah. Correct. And their statement was that she had a propane bottle or something like that. And, I mean, when you saw our drone video, it was quite obvious that they had thrown a flashbang next to her. But it was taking us, they would say something and it would take us 2-3 days to refute it because of the media blackout and because there wasn't any internet here. They used blockers, they used things called stingrays, which are like false towers. They used that to get information as well. So you connect to it thinking that you're connecting to a good cell phone signal, and they're just monitoring everything that you're sending back and forth. All of those have been a constant struggle. We managed to get cell phone boosters up. We managed to get high speed in so literally that people's voices could be heard immediately.
And, you know, for someone who doesn't know how it works, because I sure don't, now that you've been able to get boosters and things like that, are they trying to scramble those too and get those down? Is it kind of just like a never-ending chess match?
In some cases, yes. In other cases, the watchers hate being watched. So as soon as they know that we're, you know, pinging their equipment or we're watching what they're doing, they pull back.
And is this North Dakota police, DAPL's private security, both?
It's all of them. There's a lot of different agencies that were at play here. You can hear the surveillance helicopter and planes still going over. There were a lot of different things. I mean, at the end of the day, this corporation hired its private security force, which is our police departments. They sent police from all over the U.S. to come here and work for a private security firm, you know, for a private corporation. And all of the horrible things that you have happen when you have your police forces that are able to be tapped and used as mercenaries against citizens. You know, I highly doubt that most of those police joined to come up here to North Carolina, you know, to support their local communities and all of that. They joined to protect and serve, not to come up here and beat up on innocent protesters. And that's how they were used, as a private, you know, mercenary force for an oil corporation. And you saw when you went up there, they would have the police standing there, and they still had mercenaries on site, telling them where to go, telling them what to do, giving them training and all of that. I think it's pretty horrible when you see our police being used in this manner against civilians, against innocent people that are really doing nothing but coming and praying. With the media, they constantly called us, you know, violent protesters. Even the roadblock, you would hear the media always saying that we blocked the road. The police blocked the road with a tank at one point. So those are kind of the things that we were fighting. They like to drop our signals off at the front lines, so we weren't able to get information out, and we eventually undid that too with some really cool technology that we were able to build here.
And lastly, as a veteran, it seems now that soldiers, all the people who are fighting for this country, what are they protecting? Are they protecting people's rights? Because we saw in this case, people's rights were disregarded and trampled on.
A lot of us, we took an oath, right, to defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, they love to push the foreign part, right? There's some mass person over there that's so different than you, this nameless individual that's so different from you that you have to go over there and murder them. It's the domestic part that they like to kind of gloss over. And this corporation is exactly, the oil companies in general, is exactly what we mean when we say enemies domestic. You know, a corporation that hires private security, hires our police, uses our government, infiltrates our government to oppress people, to oppress natives, to oppress protesters, that's what we're fighting for. And that's what we took that oath to defend against. Government tyranny is mentioned specifically in our Constitution. That's why we're here. This is a tyrannical government. When you have a corporation that's going to use force and violence against its citizens, that's tyranny. That's exactly what we joined the military to fight.
So you heard it right there.
Yeah.
It's happening, and they've been fighting against it. They keep denying it in Morton County. Well, we don't have the equipment to do that.
That's right.
And they said, we're not flying airplanes and helicopters up there. Turned out it was the DAPL security helicopters that they were flying in. Well,
they're like children. They're like, it's not our equipment. We don't have equipment like that. Yet there's equipment flying around. We don't have helicopters. There's helicopters flying around. Technically, it's probably not theirs, but they're working with them. They're riding in the helicopters. They are documenting. They are using that equipment. So, you know, this whole idea behind this other technology, which is very well documented, our phones are screwed up. We've been to camp 5 times. I shut mine off 4 times when I was in camp, not even having it on. And the one time I left it on, my phone has been acting up.
I know. I'm a little nervous right now because, like, every time we talk about this, like, they come and they cut off my live feed. Like, it makes me so angry because I'm trying to do a show here. Mm-hmm. So now, as promised, the interview with Sunrose Ironshell, the cousin of Red Fawn Fallis, who is sitting in jail with no charges, waiting to be released, charged for these bogus charges of having a weapon.
Yes, exactly.
So here's the interview. Hey, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with KPPPLP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And I have a very special guest on our show today. Her name is Sunrose Ironshell, and she is the cousin of Red Fawn. Welcome to our show, Sunrose. Thank you for being with me.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you for this time. To give to Red Fawn and speak about Red Fawn and the updates and issues happening with our sister.
I really wanted to tell you that on our show, we've been talking a lot about Red Fawn, and people are desperate to know what is happening with her. Every day people ask me, what is the update with Red Fawn? So I thank you so much for giving all of our listeners this important information.
We appreciate the love and support. The community has definitely come out and showed us a lot of support. So today is her 44th day in jail. We'll be starting a countdown, you know, till she's free. But today is 44 days, you know, tomorrow 45 days. So that's just something constant in our mind. And so with this winter storm coming, we came and My other cousin, Cheyenne Poor Bear, we came from Denver because we're based out of Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So Red Fawn moved out of her place and moved and set up her home here at camp.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she went to a direct action and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
So security has kept her camp untouched. So, you know, there were, you know, some food out and her kitchen because she was using it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and now the snow has came. So, you know, as family, we just came to put things away. And we also had to journey to Morton County to pick up her personal things. And I'm just a short little woman. And so everyone was like, take backup, go to security and make sure you guys get some big old dudes to follow you around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, family's always, you know, careful. I want you to be safe and careful. So we were looking for some security guys yesterday, and we found one. Clutter from out here repping Cannonball, actually, who just lives 4 miles and has a stretch of land that is on the river. So this are his land. So a lot of Cannonball people are here supporting, you know, holding it down because this is their land. So he's the one who helped keep Red Fawn's camp untouched this whole time.
Nice.
And so he jumped in with us, and we needed a couple more people. So we went to the kitchen, and we're like, anybody want to come with us for a witness? And so we met Ambrose. Ambrose jumped in with his cameras and just to be cautious, I don't know, with all this really high intense things happening in Bismarck,
mm-hmm.
you just want it to be careful, especially because we're going right to the source.
Mm-hmm.
We're going straight to the Department of Morton County.
Mm-hmm.
And we go there, and we definitely get looks, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of white women from Bismarck giving us looks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we see every day. That's not nothing new, you know.
Yeah.
I'm already used to seeing that. And so we walk up and we ask for red funds things, and they're like, okay, we'll be right back. And it's just a small little space at the top of an elevator. So we're just waiting there in like this little waiting space, and they bring out her stuff in a trash bag that's torn.
What?
Torn and we, you know, took photos of it and how it was given to us and everything.
Wow.
You know, and but there was tons of mail. There's so much love and support, tons of mail.
Mm.
It's really awesome to see that people are remembering and supporting her, because we have to keep this relevant, not just for Red Fawn, but everybody who got charges now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who has legal fees now and has to deal with the judicial system, which is, you know, of course, set against Indians. Mm-hmm. All their legislature has always been against us.
Mm-hmm.
So Red Fawn is the beacon. Like, she's the shining light on not just her situation, but the situation for all the water protectors that chose to be arrestables and stand up for those of us who can't. So I'm really thankful for all the support and rally for Red Fawn.
Can I ask you some questions that our listeners have asked? They wanted to know, they've heard, you know, they want to send packages, they want to send letters. They've heard that she's not been receiving those. Can you give us an update on that situation?
There is some kind of clause in their written rules that they don't want animosity between inmates, or jealousy, you know, or something to happen between inmates. So they're not going to give her all her mail all at once. So all these other inmates are seeing that she's getting all this mail. And
what?
Cause some, I don't know, something like that. But really, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Because right now she's... hasn't been indicted and still being held.
That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about. The state for those folks who don't know, Red Fawn was arrested on the day of the clearing of the treaty camp. And that was October 27th. And she was accused of allegedly having shot a gun. Those charges have now been dropped at the state level, and they were supposed to bring federal charges. Are you telling me no charges have been brought thus far?
Correct.
And why do you suppose that is happening? Why is she being held without any charges?
They're doing the private investigation. I can't really speak to that exactly, because I'm just like a foot soldier out here,
uh-huh,
taking care of this stuff. And then, you know, we have our uncle,
uh-huh,
who's doing the attorney, the legislation, kind of all the legal, which I will definitely give you his number.
Okay.
And he can call in on this show.
Sure.
And really give you the updates, like those that I can't really,
mm-hmm,
speak on right now, because she hasn't been indicted.
Right, right.
So I can't really, well, all of us really, we can't really say this and that, because it's a federal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
FBI investigation.
But you know what's interesting to me? What's interesting to me is that not just Indigenous people, but your family in particular, have a long history of standing up for justice, for Indigenous rights. Your family is part of has a history with the AIM movement.
Yes.
And so you're no stranger to being, quote unquote, a foot soldier in your family, especially.
As Red Font would say in her statement that she put out, or, you know, she's been sending us letters, she says, we were born to do this. We were raised to do this. This ain't nothing new. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny how maybe because she's only 5 foot, you know, 10 pounds on them good days, maybe they decided to make her an easy target because they thought she was just some tiny little woman. And little do they know, she was
stuck
a Lakota
in a nowhere
woman.
Job. Mm-hmm. Opportunity is not.
She is a Lakota woman born in this movement. Mm-hmm. Like, born to generations of this movement.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not, you know, if we don't step up to what came before us and continue that vision and continue that honor, mm-hmm. of upholding positions like that, then we're not Lakota. What good it is to be Lakota. And one thing that in Morton County and the Black Snake doesn't understand, it's the Great Sioux Nation, the Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota. Creator put something inside them, mm-hmm. that does not let them back down.
Mm-hmm.
They will not back down. They always say, you know, well, then it is a good day to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been one of our famous charging words. So something about being indigenous and this connection to the earth causes you not to back down, because this is our lands and our blood is in this earth and this earth is in our blood.
Mm.
So little did they know, they wanted to pick on my cousin and take her down and put all those men on top of her.
Mm-hmm.
Little did they know that she was one of the fiercest warriors. Put some of these guys to shame, even. We are coming to camp, and then so many people have love and support for her and telling us what she did, that she helped them. She's also a certified medic. A medic that day. She had her medic vest on. They know she was a medic. So going against all Geneva Convention of not going after the medics, that's who they went after.
Yeah, we've seen them do that before in different, and on that day of the treaty camp, they specifically targeted several medics, and it was all on video. They pulled one medic out of a moving vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They just keep making themselves look bad.
Well, one thing that I think is really remarkable about this situation, because many people are comparing Red Fawn to Leonard Peltier and other political prisoners, based on the fact that, despite the fact there is little evidence of anything against Red Fawn or against these other political prisoners, they didn't have evidence, or they had made up evidence. Yet they were held in prison. It's difficult to imagine that in 2016, this could be happening to someone, that there would be essentially war with our indigenous sovereign nations in this country. And that people like Red Fawn would be taken into prison under these pretexts. Does it feel a little surreal to you sometimes that this is happening?
Oh, no. No. We were prepared for this. Like I said, we were born of this. So I don't know. It's very not surprising, I guess. It's not surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, we wish it wouldn't have happened. I really, you know, I'm coming together with all of these people, with all these other nations. I'm really coming together with my Lakota people. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, we're banding together, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wish it did not have to be under these circumstances.
Of course. Of course.
But
you said something very true earlier. You said something very, very true. I've been watching the escalation of violence in Bismarck. The latest is that they have a sentinel patrol. The citizens, the pro-DAPL, pro-pipeline police, white citizens of North Dakota, Bismarck, are going to create a sentinel council where they are going to go and protect people from the violent eco-terrorists, quote-unquote. And what that really has resulted in is indigenous people and their allies being denied services, kicked out of businesses, profiled by vigilantes and police when they're driving, kicked out of hotels, run off the roads, threatened in their lives and their families' lives. And there's documentation of this in video form. And it's happening every single day. And what's remarkable about what you told me is that, yeah, you grew up in North Dakota. This is your everyday. This is just a regular Wednesday or Thursday for you, right?
Yeah. Well, I grew up abroad. I was born in Denver. Mm-hmm. Our family has a big presence in Denver. But we're also from Pine Ridge and Rosebud. And mm-hmm. yeah, growing up, yep, it's just shining light on things. And because... okay, so maybe one person thinks they're racist or is like outright racist. Then they see another person. Now they're like banding together and they think it's okay. Like society is making it
mm-hmm.
A regular thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be a regular thing. And it does make you nervous because we've been living next door to these people for years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years we've seen them all the time, and now that these tensions are really high, it is a shame.
Mm.
Shame on this humanity.
It is. It's also kind of terrifying. I mean, I was watching a video last night. Myron Dewey of Digital Smoke Signals was riding along with Dean, the drone pilot, drone to be wild, and Prolific the Rapper, and some snowmobiled masked guys were running them off the road, off the highway, and terrorizing people at night at high speeds, crossing in front of them in the highway, chasing them down. The kinds of crimes being committed to terrorize indigenous people continues to escalate. So I have to say I am concerned about it. I know that for you this is a common experience, and I'm glad that these things are being exposed for what they are. But I did want to speak to the fact that a lot of people are reporting an increase escalation of hate in the Bismarck Mandan region around Standing Rock.
Yeah, and I can see that a lot because so much. Basically, like I said, we've been living next door to these people for a long time, and they were the people that stole our land.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were the people that were given free stolen land. Mm-hmm. So there's always been a tension,
mm-hmm.
and there's this historical tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a deedless, you know, landowner. They mm-hmm. say, you know, and it's true that we own the Black Hills. This is our land. This is the land of our ancestors. It's all of our land, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a Great Sioux Nation. And yet I don't own land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm Lakota and I don't own land. And I don't have nowhere to start building my own house. I would say homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Homeless in my own land. And mm-hmm. I can look across this, you know, river, look across that little borderline that says Morton County or wherever it could be on all the border towns of tribes
mm-hmm.
That encroach and continually to take land. Yeah, there is an animosity because I'm like, dang, they killed my people. Mm-hmm. They killed my people to take this land to give to you freely. Mm-hmm. And the way that you had to keep that land was you had to occupy it. You had to stay on that land, occupy it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll keep that land.
And now they're coming for the water.
For them to occupy, yeah.
So in order for them to occupy, you were saying?
They probably, you know, went after Indians and got all scared. And there's just historical tension.
Yeah, of course. And it doesn't seem like the people that are reacting and reliving history today seem to know anything about the indigenous history of this land here in North Dakota. The very people that live here seem to know very little about the Native nations on whose lands they are living on, encroaching on, the people that they have generationally harmed, dispossessed of their resources, of their lands, and who they've killed. And I think that makes this narrative so much harder to have when you're talking to people that have never been given their history, never been taught the history of where they live. But I did want to ask you one final thing. Can you tell us how Red Fawn is doing? She's been held for a really long time. It seems like there's been a lot of petty things done to her, like keeping her mail from her, keeping her packages from her, keeping her glasses from her, that seem, you know, engineered to break her spirit or make her feel isolated, make her feel scared. And I wanted you to tell us, how is she doing, and tell our listeners what her spirits are like.
She is a warrior. She is giving us all these awesome quotes. She called us the other day when we had just cruised through camp, and she was just like, you guys, she loves the support. Her spirits are strong. They haven't broken her, and they won't. They won't. So, and we know this because we're her family. We like grew up with her, you know. We know exactly how her spirits are and how they're gonna be. They ain't gonna break her either.
Mm.
Like I said, they just looked at her and thought she was a small little woman, not knowing that there is an Akichita in there. There is a warrior. There's a fierce female warrior, Counting Coup.
Mm-hmm.
So. They don't know. They just don't know. Well, now they do because I put it out there. But Europeans, better come get your cousin. Your lease is up. Better come get your cousin.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your kind words, uplifting words.
All the updates will be on freeredfawn.com. The family updates that regular, and that's what we control as our media.
Because
there's a lot of things out there that have mistakes, a lot of mistakes in their writing, and it makes it, you know, but everything, freeredfawn.com, you know, and show your support and love on hashtag, you know, the hashtag freeredfawn.com. And every Friday, we'll be wearing red and being really vocal about her. And they're calling it Free Red Fawn Friday.
Awesome.
So just remember her every day. You know, she's there for us. And we also have the generosity.com under Red Fawn. That is her legal fund. It's on Indiegogo. But it's generosity.com, Free Red Fawn. And those legal fees are up there because North Dakota, they kind of doubled their fees.
Mm-hmm.
At first, the fee that we thought to secure and hold the public defender was a certain amount, about $25,000. And then all of a sudden, it just bumped up. So the legal fees are there. And we just want to thank everybody for their support and the love. It really feels awesome to know that the community is backing her.
Yeah, and these the folks out there need to know the truth about what's going on. This battle is far from over. The Black Snake is not yet dead. It is in the throes of death. It is close to death, but it is not yet dead. Energy Transfer Partners has defied the Army Corps of Engineers and said they will drill under Lake Oahe and that they will finish their project on time. And today, there is a court case that may tell us more about what's going to happen with the decision of the federal government on whether or not they allow them to continue or not. But people need to know that these attacks, that this snake, that Morton County's petty charges, false charges against Red Fawn have not gone away. And she needs your support. The people of Standing Rock continue to need our support. The GoFundMe, or I'm sorry, was it generosity.com?
Generosity.
Exactly. The generosity.com for Red Fawn. We need to blow that up. As a paralegal, I can tell you that in these situations, you may think that $500,000 is going to go a long way, and it doesn't, because the attorneys and prosecutors, they know how to rack up the fees to make it really, really hard, especially for folks that don't come from a lot of money, to be able to fight against the injustices that are brought against them. So folks, we need to help Red Fawn, her family, and Standing Rock. Remember Free Red Fawn Fridays. Make sure you can you can show your support by using the hashtag Free Red Fawn. And you can also give to her legal fund. We need to blow that up at generosity.com, Free Red Fawn. Thank you, Sunrose Ironshell, for giving us this important update. And I'd like to invite you back. You've got our number now. If you would be kind enough to let us know how your family is doing, how Red Fawn is doing, when you have an update, we'd really appreciate that.
Okay. Will do. Will do. Thank you for all the support.
Very much so. Aho. Take care of yourselves.
Bye. Daksha.
Daksha. Okay, so I got to tell you really quick all the things that you were asking me about. Monday through Friday is when my show is on, 7 and 10 Central Standard Time. You can listen on kpppfm.com live, or you can find our podcasts on there. I do my live feeds. I pre-record them, so you're getting a preview of the show. It's happening live with you right now. Okay, the second thing I wanted to tell you, Chase Iron Ice and Sean King have been raising money for the camp. They are also asking for an accounting from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and Chairman for all of the millions of dollars that were raised for the camp that are not being used for the camp right now. So this is what he said. I'm going to read you his statement. Chase said, if you want to donate, you can work directly with our nonprofit overseen by a fiscal sponsor. That's our People's Press Project. Or you can have we have a generosity crowdfunding page. So if you want to donate right now to the camp, to the people that are there that are managing this, Chase Iron Eyes, Candy Mossett, and the group from Indigenous Environmental Network, who are making a safety camp for the people that remain, you can send your checks to the People's Press Project. Go to kpppfm.com, donate there, and put Last Real Indians into the memo for the Last Real Indians. We're the fiscal agent of the Last Real Indians. So if you want to donate directly to them, that's how you do it. If you want to go to their generosity.com fundraiser, you can go to generosity.com/fundraising/last-real-indians-nodapple-aid. Those are the two ways that you can currently donate to camp right now. And I also wanted to tell folks that don't feed the trolls. Don't listen to them. We love hearts. We love love. All of these people that are trying to divide us, we're all relatives, family. We are all relatives. We are all children of our mother, the earth. And we all have to take care of her. So people that are talking that nasty stuff on the feed, ignore them. We got love for each other here at KPPPLP. I want hearts and I want thumbs, right? Don't feed the trolls, guys. Thank you for listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on KPPPLP Fargo, Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And never forget Minnie Wiccioni. Water is life.